So when I was in my mid-20s, there was a time when I think I had hit my lowest point. And we've all been there. We've all been to that part where we just want to throw up our hands and walk away and say, I'm done. I'm done. And I've had it a couple times in my life, some more so than others. And we've all been there. And this series has been very much about how to stand unshakable when those times come, because they do come. They do threaten to just absolutely undo us. Well, today's the last message in this series, and what I want to leave you with today is some real tangible thoughts, some tangible things, ideas around living a life that is unshakable in the midst of life's storms. There are seven principles on which we can build upon. Now, last week we had principle one, which was to build your life on a solid foundation. And when we build our lives on a solid foundation, a foundation of faith, pretty much everything else goes in line with this. We're able to stand strong when those circumstances come. And yeah, they'll shake us, they'll rattle the windows, it may even peel the siding a little bit. By the way, did you know that every time I have a brilliant thought, that noise happens? That's what that is. So we build our faith on a firm foundation, and that firm foundation is God. If we do not have that, like the song says, everything else is shifting sand. If we build our faith, what our faith is in, if our faith is in ourselves, our faith is in our spouse, our faith is in our job or our finances, all those things can be undone, and they're all temporary. They're all fleeting. But God is stable. God is constant. God is eternal, and God is strong. So once you've secured your faith on a solid foundation, there are six additional principles that can reinforce your ability to walk through every storm of life unscathed. And hear me here. I'm not saying that the storms are not going to come, because they are. Building your life on a firm foundation isn't the magic pill. It's not the thing that comes and all of a sudden, oh, I believe in God, God loves me, I have my faith on a firm foundation, therefore nothing bad will ever happen to me. It's not the case. But building yourself on a firm foundation and having that strong, unshakable faith will get you through it, will get you through the storms that come. The second principle in this is to sidestep surprise. Now, we're going to find that as we go through life, a lot of the things that threaten to shake us to our core come out of the blue. They surprise us. An accident, an unexpected illness, surprising layoff, or maybe it's a betrayal, or some sort of a physical thing that happens to our home. Maybe there's a fire or a tornado. It leaves us feeling vulnerable and helpless. Now, we get to choose not to be surprised by these events. I know, it sounds difficult. But if we look at the fact that our fallen world is full of these circumstances, and they are going to come. Now, that doesn't mean live in negativity, you know, saying, oh, you know, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. No, no. But to realize that these things are going to come. You know, life on this side of heaven is not easy. You know this. John 16:33 says, I've told you this so you may have peace in me. This is Jesus speaking. I've told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you're going to have trouble. But take heart. I have overcome the world. That's the star to hitch our wagon to. Sidestepping the surprise means letting go of some of the pain. It means when it comes, not being surprised that it has come, but realizing that God is with us in the midst of it. On the other side of that, we also have to not overescalate the inevitable. You know, I think about a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to get my 11-year-old daughter her back-to-school shots. And I tried very hard not to talk about it or tell her about it. I thought, we're just going to go and get it done because otherwise she's going to freak out for days ahead of time. We got to the doctor's office and she said, Mom, why are we here? Why are we here? What's happening? Why are we here? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Does it have to do with me? Are we going to do something to me? Is it going to be shots? Mom, you're not answering me. Well, I couldn't lie, right? And I said, well, you know, there's some things that need to happen before you go back to school, so we're going to talk to the nurse. Is that all? Are there going to be needles? So I said, yes, Hannah, there are going to be needles, but you know what? I also scheduled my tetanus shot at the same time so that I also would get poked and she would see that, oh my goodness, it's really nothing at all. But it didn't work out that way. She was so worked up before the needles even went into her arm that they hurt. She was crying and they hurt even before the nurse got the needle in the arm. Now, on the other side of this, 2 days ago, she went to the dentist and had to have a tooth fixed. And they gave her 3 shots in the mouth. She did not realize that they were doing that because, you know, they numb it. And, you know, he holds the needle like way down here behind her head and then just goes, wee. And I said, you know, it's funny how you got through that, but the other one was difficult. And she's like, well, those didn't hurt. Exactly, you didn't see them coming. So you didn't have time to think about it and get all worked up about it. So it goes both ways. The third principle of living an unshakable life is to ask the right question of the right person right away. Our first instinct should be to turn right away to God, but we don't. We don't turn to God first. A lot of times we turn to something a little bit easier or what we perceive as a little more accessible. We look to other sources of comfort, like maybe a friend's advice or a self-help book or maybe something not as healthy, maybe something healthy, whatever it is, we sometimes tend to turn to something else first. But then eventually we may turn to God and maybe we ask, why? Why did this happen? Why me? Why? God, why? But we need to ask the right question. We need to ask, instead of why, what? I mean, how are we going to spend our energy? Are we going to spend our energy feeling like something bad has happened to us and this just isn't fair and be bitter about it? We can spend our energy doing that, or we can spend our energy asking what instead of why. What can I do to move through this? What can I learn? What can I do to inspire others? What are the healthy ways of dealing with this? And what is God saying to me in the midst of this? And then we have to listen. We have to ask the right person the right questions right away and then we have to listen. Principle four is about our emotions. And some of us have built some pretty sturdy walls around our emotions. Now we're kind of a stoic people, really. We tend to come to church and we want to appear like everything is going super well. Our lives are just kind of sailing on, and we see people and we say, "How are you?" "Fine." "I'm fine. How are you?" "I'm fine." We're all very, very fine. We need to embrace emotion. We need to, once we've done number three, which is ask God the right question, what can I do? We need to embrace emotion. In other words, we need to tune into our heart and tune into our mind and be present with God in that place. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 4 says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to laugh and a time to cry. There's a time to grieve and a time to dance." You don't have to muscle through. You don't have to. And you know what? A lot of this is very antiquated ideas of men. You have to be strong. You can't cry. You have to, what was the one when I was a kid? "Buck up, buttercup." No, you don't have to muscle through. And God is going to use what you're feeling to move you closer to Him. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16 says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unavailable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, without sin. Let us then listen and with confidence and draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace in time of help, in help in time of need." When we need help, God is there meeting us. The fifth principle is that we need to borrow from others. We need to realize that others can help us in time of need. That is the hardest thing, isn't it? To ask for help? We hate to do it. But that is Christian community, friends. That is Christian community. When we're feeling depleted, be quick to lean on the faith of others for strength. This is our faith community. Now, this is not about what I just said about the emotional thing, or, you know, you need to go to God first, yes. But don't be afraid to lean on the faith of others for strength. The strength of community. Now, you remember when there was a big fight going on, a big war going on, and God had told Moses that as long as you lift your arms to the heavens, I will declare victory for your people. So Moses has his arms up, and hours go by, and pretty soon, I think about this when I'm curling my hair, straightening my hair sometimes. Moses' arms become so tired that he soon no longer can hold them up. And the enemy starts to win. So here's what it says in Exodus 17, 12 through 13. Moses' arms soon became so tired that he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. And then they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his hands. So his hands held steady until sunset. As a result, Joshua overwhelmed the army of Malachek in battle. There will be a time when you won't be able to hold your arms up anymore. And maybe you recognize in your life some of those times. It's important to have a network of faith, a network of strong friends. I hear people tell me sometimes, oh, I don't need church. You know, I'm not into organized religion, or, you know, I can certainly connect with God on my own. But God created the church for certain purposes. And one of them is so that we can be surrounded by a family of faith who will help us, who will hold our arms up. This is one of the purposes of God's church. Principle 6 is to be a willing witness. Your story can be an incredible inspiration to someone if you allow it. It's hard to tell our stories. There are things that I've done or things that have happened to me in my life that I'm so humiliated, I'm so embarrassed about. I struggle telling people. But you know what? If I'm keeping that to myself and not sharing how I came through that, I don't have the ability to help someone else who may be going through that same thing. Everyone, every single one, look around you. Look at the people sitting next to you. Look at the people behind you. Every single person that you see is going through or has gone through some painful stuff. So here's how we can be a lighthouse. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "In your hearts receive Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." So we're always to be prepared. How did you make it through that? What happened to you? What did God do in your life? Principle 7 is to turn pain into purpose. Romans 8:28 says that God takes all things that happen to us and works them together for the good of those who love God. Now, it doesn't say that God causes those things to happen, but God is constantly working all of our challenges and our choices and the things that happen to us and working them together for our good. God constantly weaves circumstances in our lives together to create beauty. And we can shine God's love into the world by the way we live into that peace. The peace that Jesus Christ promises us. The peace that passes all understanding. There are ways to live unshakably. There are tangible ways to cling fast to that faith. And it's not a once and done. Because every time storms threaten us or storms hit, we have to constantly check our foundation and make sure that we're connected where we need to be connected and make sure that we are secure in our faith. And that means daily practice. Because those storms are going to come and we need to weather the storm. And weathering the storm has nothing to do with how strong you are and everything to do with how strong God is. All that I have, all that you have, being smart, maybe having financial wealth or being connected, whatever we have, it can't protect us against life's storms. But God can. Amen.